not careful in their life. The first step is they did not glorify God as God. The second step, they were not thankful. Third step, they were vain in their imaginations. And the fourth step, they were foolish. Their foolish heart was darkened. And so what this tells us is that anybody can take a step down in their life and their heart be darkened, and they can walk thinking they're okay, but be walking in darkness, and that includes Christians. So the opposite side of that is to glorify God, number one. I talked about that last time. And that is glorifying God and making Him number one in your life over everything and everybody else. Amen. You know, it's very similar to marriage. When you marry somebody, you're supposed to make them number one. More important than anybody else. More important than your family at home. More important than anybody you left. More important than anybody in your life. And so in a sense, when we come to Christ and receive Him as our Savior, we are to make Him number one, more important than anybody or anything else in our life. And when you do that, everything else in your life will begin to fall into place. If everything is under God, including yourself, then God will bring His blessing down upon everything in your life. But He has to be number one. More important than your mate, more important than your kids, more important than anything else in your life. Because everything else in your life is temporary, and He's eternal. You will be with Him forever if you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Now, I talked about that last time. Now, I'm going to talk about the second one of these things, and that's being thankful. And I'm going to tell you when it starts. It starts last night. It starts last night. If you want this to be a good day in the Lord, I didn't say everything perfect, I said a good day in the Lord, then you start thanking Lord the night before. You start thanking God before you ever go to sleep. You don't think about everything negative that happened during the day, because there's always something negative. But we are to go to bed being thankful to God. Now, I'm telling you how to make the next day a blessing. I'm telling you how to make your life a blessing. Because these are very practical things that will change your life. It's very interesting in Israel, their day started 6 o'clock in the evening. And I think there was a reason for that. It went from 6 o'clock in the evening to 6 o'clock the next evening. And I think the reason for that was you have to start preparing for the next day at 6 o'clock in the evening. You have to start thinking about what good things you want to happen the next day. You want to start thanking God before you ever go to sleep. And if you're one of these folks that get up during the night, and I won't ask for a show of hands, you want to be thanking God when you get up and when you get back to bed. And then the minute you open your eyes in the morning, you want to be thankful to God that your eyes are open. Thankful to God your heart is beating. Thankful for God that you can get up and do the things you need to do for that day. That's most of us. And when you begin to bring thankfulness into your life, you're going to bring the light of God instead of the darkness of the world. Now, that's why it's important what you do the night before. It's important what you say. It's important what you do. It's important what you think, because you are preparing the next day. And so you want to be very careful about the thoughts that are on your mind when you go to bed. There's always negative things, but you don't want to be thinking those thoughts when you go to bed. Be thankful to God. Thankful for what He has done. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And you can either do that, or you can start talking about your aches and pains and complaining and murmuring and doing all these things and grumbling. You have a choice. You and I have a choice of how our day is going to go. You and I have a choice. We start the night before. And instead of grumbling and complaining and complaining about all of our aches and pains, we can see what the Word of God says, and I take the Bible seriously. It says, by His stripes we're healed. And so I'm going to claim I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Every time I eat, I'm going to pray that the food I'm eating is going to bring health to my body. Every single time I eat. When I go to bed, I'm going to claim that I'm healed and whole in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to wake up healed and whole the next morning. I'm preparing myself for the day. I'm talking about being serious about God. Number one, you put Him first. You think about Him first thing in the morning when you go to bed at night. You think about God during the day. You're in the Word of God. You're giving Him first place over everything else in your life, because everything you see is temporary. It'll all be gone in a period of time. God didn't design this world to last forever. He designed this world to give us a place where we could find Him and glorify Him and be thankful to Him and then leave to be with Him, hallelujah, for eternity. Do I hear an amen? You see, a lot of our day depends on us. We can't blame somebody else. We can't blame God. We can't blame anybody else by us, because it's our attitude that's going to make the difference in the day. You can complain about your boss. You can complain about everything in sight. Or you can be thanking God during the day, and don't believe that'll make your day better. You see. We're going to look at some things in the Bible and see what it says about that. But being thankful glorifies and magnifies God in your life. Just that simple. And these three things go together. Being thankful, glorifying God, putting Him first. In order to glorify God, you have to be thankful. In Christ, this day is the best day of my life.
That's right.
I said, in Christ, this day is the best day of my life. I'm one day closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the best day I've ever had in Jesus Christ, because He's number one. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for what He's done. You see. There are so many Christians running around grumbling all the time. They say, well, you know, this Christian life doesn't work. Well, what do you know, I say to that? Try it. Not being thankful brings darkness into your life. It says so in this scripture. Let's read it again. Romans 1:21. Because when they knew there was a God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what it says. It really says we're foolish not to be thankful. Because that brings darkness into our life. All right. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm telling you something that's going to make a difference in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. There it is, right there. And we got a lot of things we could be unthankful about. I mean, we could be really upset with Washington. Doesn't do any good to be upset about it, pray about it, and vote for Christians. That's the issue. But the thing is, it said in the last days, and we're in the last days, people in general are going to be unthankful, and they're going to bring darkness into their life. That's exactly what that verse says. Now, I want you to look also in verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now, that's what I taught on last time. They're going to be involved in everything else instead of loving God. You see. And you say, well, I thought I was supposed to love my husband or wife or my kids. You are. But not as much as we have a love for God. That's what the Word of God says. That's why we most of us get in a mess. We don't put Christ first. We don't put the Lord first. Then we wonder why it's not going well. You know, being thankful involves remembering what the Lord has done. You know, we always remember all the junk in the past, but the Bible says, remember what the Lord has done. That's going to make a difference in your life, you see. We instead of bringing up all the junk, which Satan dumps on us every day, and if he can get us to think about it, we bring darkness in our life, just exactly what I said. Now, but if we remember what the Lord has done, is doing, and will do. Look in Psalm 103, verse 2. I don't always use so many verses, but I think it's important. I want you to see these things in the Bible. Psalm 103 and verse 2. And it just constantly tells us in the Word of God about being thankful. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and look at this, forget not all of his benefits. Don't forget it. Keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about the Lord is good. Keep thinking about what the Lord has done in your life. And you got to surrender to him to do that. And you got to let him direct your life. But the issue is, you will surrender to God if you're thankful to him. It's just that simple. Now, we want to surrender to him. We want him to direct our life. And it's interesting. In the Old Testament, with the nation of Israel, God gave them a whole bunch of rules to follow. And one of them was seven feasts, seven times a year. God said, I want you to remember me at least seven times a year. At least seven times. Passover, first fruits, so forth. He had all these special feasts. And you know what he says today? He says, take communion. And when you take communion, remember the Lord. I said, remember the Lord. Remember, 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 remember. Don't forget the Lord. That's what it's saying. That's why he had all these feasts in the Old Testament. That's why he has the Lord's Supper or communion in the New Testament, is to remember the Lord. And if you remember the Lord, you will forget some of the other stuff that's darkness. And when you remember the Lord, you'll bring light into your life. You know, one of the first things God did when he created the earth, it says, let there be light, as opposed to darkness. Are you listening to me? Now, he said, I want the light in there. Keep shining the light in there. And that's what we do when we're thankful. You know, a proud person doesn't really believe they need anybody else. You know, I don't need God. I did this all on my own. Well, there was a king back in the Old Testament that said that. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And one day he stood up and he said, look at this great kingdom I have built. You know what he ended up? Eating grass out with the cows. God said, I'll show you who brought this kingdom into being. You see? And that's what happens. Some people say, but you know, I just don't understand why everything's falling apart. I don't understand. I knew how to do this, and it just didn't work. Did you ask God? Did you talk to him about it? Were you thankful that he gave you the ability to do the job or whatever it is you're doing? Do you know that anything good in your life came from one place? And where's that? I said, everything good in your life came from one place, God. It didn't come from any place else. God said, darkness doesn't come from him. Only light. God didn't have to bring darkness. Satan does enough of that. And we help him. And, you know, you can't really function without a memory. but it's how we use it. There was a lady, this is a true story. There was a lady who was in a car accident, and it was a serious accident. She had a head injury, and she couldn't remember anything for the last year. Nothing. Well, she had gotten married in the last year. So after she came out of the coma, she couldn't remember anything for a year. And so they said, "This is your husband." And she had no clue. So she didn't go home with him. They had to start dating all over again so she could get to know him. Now, isn't that interesting? Because she had no memory of that time. We have a memory. God says use it. But use it for light and not for darkness. So many people are 40 years old and they're still mulling over in their memory, in their mind, something terrible that happened 20 years ago. And what you're doing is just stirring up darkness in your life. You ever seen a bucket of water and it looks real clear on top, but you stir it up and all that black stuff comes up and just muddies the whole water? That's what unthankfulness does in your life. Because if you aren't thanking God and looking at what God's going to do, you're going to look at only what you can do, and usually not that, what you did in the past, and you always think of the bad stuff. That doesn't come from God. So God's telling us, glorify Him, put Him number one. But God said, never forget, never forget, never forget what the Lord has done. If you're going to keep God strong in your life on a daily basis, you have to remember Him. It's just that simple. Keep remembering Him. Keep being thankful. If you're going to rehearse something in your mind, rehearse the victories in the Lord. Because usually what we rehearse is all the bad things that we've done. And a lot of us, when we were teenagers, we rehearse that stuff all of our life. Just keep bringing that mud, keep bringing that darkness, keep bringing that dirt right up to today. And it probably happened 20 years ago. And God said the way you get rid of that is you rehearse in your mind, okay, but rehearse the victories. Hallelujah. You know, that's why they don't do it as much anymore, but we try to. They used to give testimonies in church all the time. You know why that was? Being thankful to God. Blessing God. You know, it was making Him number one. They were rehearsing the good things of God. Go back when God touched your life for the first time. Go back to where He touched your life for the second time and the third time and the fourth time. And keep rehearsing those things in your mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you'll come out of bed dancing in the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's a fact. I mean, you're either going to come out mumbling about the day or you're going to come out whistling and singing about the day, you see. And I find that in my own life. I got to be careful. I don't want that stuff to be mulled around in my mind all night long that I thought about just before I went to bed. And a lot of times it's about somebody that did you wrong. I got news. They say that 10% of the people that you know are going to do you wrong. So there's going to be a lot of wrong down the line. Were you going to concentrate on that, or are you going to concentrate on God? He'll never do you wrong. Not ever, one time, will God do you wrong. It won't happen. You got to constantly go back, rehearse the victories, rehearse the encounters with Christ. Be a thankful person constantly. Look in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. The whole Bible's about this thing. God's trying to tell His people how to get it together. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Hearken unto me. This is God speaking. I said, this is God speaking. Isaiah 51. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were drug out of when you got saved. I mean, I don't want to remember the pit. I want to remember being drug out of it by Jesus Christ when I got saved. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, and that's what God said. What are you going to concentrate on, the pit or coming out of it in Jesus' name? I tell you this, I'd rather remember being pulled out of that miry clay. I'd rather remember being pulled out of that darkness. I'd rather remember being pulled out of that hole in the name of Jesus. Each morning, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. And I'm one day closer to Jesus. Every morning, rehearse the victories. Continue to glorify Him. Thank Him for what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do. Don't think about negative things all your life, past or present or whatever. I'm not saying you don't have any. I don't say you totally ignore them. You do what you can and pray about those things and then turn your mind to the glory of God. You see? I said one thing, you know, you can't stop the sun from shining. You can't stop God from blessing, but you can cloud it all up and not see it. You see? When it's cloudy, that sun just shining just as bright as it was before. But you don't see it because of the clouds. We make our own life cloudy with the way we think and whether we're grateful or not and whether we're thankful or not and whether we're unforgiving or not. We cloud our life up. We stir up the mud in our life, and now we wonder why we can't go forward. You see, God's not looking back. He's always looking ahead. God's always looking forward. He's always looking at what He's going to do, how He can bless you, how He can love us, how He can guide us into what He wants us to do. Now, you need to keep talking about what God wants in your life, not what the world wants, not what somebody else wants. What does God want in your life? That's what you talk about. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Our memory is a powerful thing. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. I don't know about you, I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, I'm preaching to myself today. I don't have to worry about God telling me. My wife tells me when I'm an old grouch. I don't get away with that very long, I'll tell you that right now. It usually doesn't get to God, hallelujah. It doesn't have to go that far. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. He says, I don't have to bring these things to your remembrance because you're thinking about them all the time, the things of God and what He's doing and what's going to happen in the future and what's going to happen down the road and what God want to do today, you see. Verse 13, yea, I think it fitting as long as I'm in this tabernacle, meaning in His body, to stir you up by putting you in what? By putting you in what?
Remembrance.
Peter was constantly remembering, reminding them of the goodness of God. Sometimes we seem to forget that, how good He is, you see. And we start fending for ourselves and all this stuff. Look in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in what?
Remembrance.
There it is. Keep remembering what the Word of God says. Keep remembering what God has said. Keep remembering of what God wants to do. Keep your eye on the Lord. I have news. We know the last page, hallelujah, and we're victorious in Jesus Christ. You see, what are you going to concentrate on, victory or darkness? You see, too many people looking at the darkness all the time. We don't want to do that. Now, look in chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verse 1. It's amazing. This keeps coming up. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, of which I stir up your pure minds by way of what? Wow. Isn't it amazing how often that comes up? Just keeps coming up and keeps going. Remember the good things. My wife's mother just gave her a bunch of old pictures. Some of them were from, I think it was in the 40s, right? In the 40s, and she wanted copies. Well, she wanted them enlarged. And so we enlarged a bunch of these. These were memories, you see. And I'll guarantee you one thing, and if we have a brain, we don't take pictures when we mess up. Oh, that was such a mess up, I want to take a picture of it. I just messed up so bad, let's get a picture of that so I can remember it 20 years from now. How many you know that? How many people you know does that? Well, hopefully not very many, because we're going to remember the good things. Oh, wasn't Niagara Falls wonderful on our honeymoon? You take pictures of everything, and you want to remember that great day. You have a photographer come in when you get married, usually, and do all this stuff because you want to remember what a great day that was. How much more do we want to remember that day with Christ? Hallelujah, when we came to Him. You see, God has a way of living. God has a way of life that's great. Remember the wonderful things He has done. Psalm 116 and verse 6. Psalm 116 and verse 6. And they say, well, I'm tired, my fingers are tired looking at Scriptures. Well, it'll make you hungry in time for dinner, so don't worry about it. All right. Psalm 116, I'm looking at the same time you are here. Psalm 116 and verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. I qualify. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. I'm going to tell you, when you're brought low, God can lift you up. And you want to remember those times. When I got saved, God took me back to three times that I could have died if He hadn't helped me, if He hadn't sent an angel to help me. And that's while I was still lost. Three distinct times. I remember them. Thank you, Lord. One time I almost had a 2-ton rock fall on me. It should have when I was lost. The only thing that held that up was the hand of God till I could get out of the way. And you got to remember those things. God will take you back to things. He'll start showing you things where He had His hand in your life, where He saved you out of something, where you could have died, where He saved you out of something, where you should have been, could have been harmed seriously, you see. Remember those things. Psalm 68 and verse 20. Well, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. All right, we're serious about the things of God. Psalm 68 and verse 20, and this says, He who is our God and is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord belongs the issues of death. God can save you from death. There probably isn't anybody here that God hadn't saved from death at one time or another. Absolutely correct. Whether it was sickness or an accident or some other thing you were into, and God saved you out of it. If you can't think of anything else to thank God about, go back to one of those times. Thank you, Lord, for holding that rock back, or I'd have been a hamburger by now, you see. And that's what you want to do. Thank you, Lord, for saving me out of that. I might be in a mess now, and I might be praying now, and I might not feel good now, but I remember, Lord, when you saved my life. You see. And that's what the Bible says. That's why he put a memory in us. That's why, not to remember the bad things, but to rehearse and rejoice over the good things. And that's why it's in there. Now look at Psalm 100. And when I was a kid in church, I didn't know the Lord, but I knew the 100th Psalm. I learned it in Sunday school. I didn't know Jesus, but I learned this psalm, and I never forgot it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We want to remember that. Whose we are, you see. On a daily basis, not once a week, every day. It'll make a difference in your life. Now look at this, verse 14. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. There it is. You want to enter the presence of the Lord on a daily basis. If you want to enter prayer and want to enter the presence of God, if you want to have the presence of God on Sunday, when you come with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Enter the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what it says. We have to learn the art of being thankful. It's an art. It's work. You have to practice being thankful, you see. And people aren't thankful anymore. It's really a mess, you know. People just kind of ignore each other. But you go into a store, somebody opens the door for you. Well, thank you, sir. I thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That was great. Thank you. It's wonderful. Hebrews 12:34. We're going to dance around this Bible this morning. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to go to Hebrews, and we're going to go to 12 and 34. Hebrews 12:34. It's all over the Bible. It's amazing. Wait a minute. Is that right? Just a minute. Well, it's kind of hard to get to Hebrews 12:34 when there isn't one. Lord, I'm thankful you know where it's at, whether I do or not. I'm going to be thankful regardless. I messed that up. And I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do is take a picture of it. to remember next Sunday how I messed up today. You see, because I'll be bringing darkness into my life. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Don't worry about it. All right. you know, sometimes we have to learn to be thankful the hard way. And that's the sad part. It really is. That we should be teaching our kids to be thankful. We should be teaching our grandkids to be thankful. It's not up to the schools. It's not up to the government. It's not up to God. It's up to you and I. Are you listening? We do it by practicing it in our own life. And then we teach them. Because, you know, if we don't want our children to be like us, there's something wrong with us. You see? We need to change. Everything here is temporary. Psalm 150, verse 6, so that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what it says. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. You see. God's supply is bigger than your need. God's supply is bigger than your need. We're just part of a bigger thing. The earth is small compared to the works of God. We're part of a bigger thing. And the Bible says very simply this, and I want you to see this one, and I hope I got it right. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Because this is important. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. And it says, "For our light affliction." Did you know your affliction was light? Maybe it didn't feel like it. But God says your affliction's light. And I'm going to tell you, compared to Jesus, it is. Compared to the cross of Calvary, everything we go through is light. When he got off that cross, he didn't look like a human being. They couldn't tell he was human. Our affliction's light. We need to start putting our values where God puts them. You see. Now, you know, you don't compare yourself with your neighbors. You don't compare yourself with somebody on television. You don't compare yourself to somebody in your family. You compare yourself to what God says you are. Remember what God has done. We have a light affliction because everything here is temporary. It's light. It's going to be gone. Pay attention to the eternal things of God. You see. And you start concentrating on eternity, then it's going to make things look in your life now light. Fix our mind on the things of God. If what we are fixing our thinking on and our memories on is drawing us to darkness, is it drawing us to light? You have to make that determination and change what you're thinking. You're in charge of your mind. You're in charge of your thought life. Your mind just can't think of anything it wants to. You should have your mind under control, and if it's thinking on the wrong things, change what you're thinking. Some people have the weirdest ideas. Well, I'm watching this terrible movie, and it's just terrible, and you just keep on watching it. You can turn the dumb thing off. You can't blame it on somebody else. Keep watching that thing. The devil made me do it. He didn't make you do anything. He's probably excited about you doing it. But he doesn't make us do anything. You're in charge of your own mind. So fix your mind on the things of God. Now, remember his goodness. I'm going to have you pray a prayer here in a minute. Here's what it says. Don't do it yet. Father, forgive me for not putting you first and for not remembering you every day of the rest of my life. Fill me with your joy, your love, and your peace. If you want to pray that, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for not putting you first and for not remembering your goodness every day of my life. Fill me with your thankfulness, your joy, your love, and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says we're crucified with Christ. When Christ came to the earth, he had one thing in mind: saving you and I. That's what he thought about every hour, every minute, every day. Knowing that cross was waiting down there. Every day he thought about you. And he thought about me. That was what was on the mind of God. Every day he remembered you. Every day when the Pharisees said, "You're of the devil." Every day when the villagers said, "You're illegitimate." Every day when the kids said, "You don't have a father." Jesus' heart was filled with you and me. I don't know how you've been living your life. I don't know if you know Christ or not. But I wouldn't wait another minute to come running to Jesus. I wouldn't wait another minute to put Him first in my life. I wouldn't wait another minute to be thankful to Him for what He's done. I'd remember His goodness. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. God,